This morning, I warmly welcome you to our first online service. It is with deep gratitude that I thank Mark Kosher, who stitched together our recordings to provide for us this online worship experience. Although I am deeply saddened that we are unable to gather together in person during this state of emergency, I am grateful that our God connects us together through the power of the Holy Spirit, who works beyond the limitations of time and space. For worship this morning, there should be available on the webpage responsives, the scripture lessons, as well as the lyrics to the hymns. Please follow along as you would like. As we are about to begin our worship, I invite you to be seated, if you are not already, and to take a deep breath through your nose. Breathe in the breath of life, and then exhale out slow and long. Any troubles or burdens or fears that might be weighing heavily upon you, and entrust them to the unending mercies of our God. Let us take a moment now and prepare our hearts for worship. Our responsive call to worship. We reflect what we love. What do we hold in our hearts? We become like whom we love. Whom do we hold in our hearts? God knows who and what is in our hearts. May what is in our hearts bring us life. The bringer of life is God. Then let us worship our God together.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name.
Our Lenten liturgy serves as the opening prayer this morning. If you'd like to follow along, please read what is bolded. God provides for our every need, guidance in right paths, presence in darkest valleys, nourishment beyond measure. God shines light on the world in Jesus, opening eyes that are blind, exposing prejudice and fear, offering new understanding of life's good purpose. But we persist in our own ways, judging by appearance, denying others' experience, hoarding what we can for ourselves. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Creator God, you are the source of light and love, rest and nurture, hope and peace. Open our eyes to your goodness. Empower us to live as children of light, bringing a rich harvest of all that is good and right and true. Enlighten us to see the world with your eyes of love. So may all people know your goodness and mercy forever. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Words of assurance. Hear and believe. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone. The new life has come. Let us trust that we are forgiven, and in Christ forgive one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Our responsive psalm. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. May God help our understanding. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, and then 16 to 18. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. May God help our understanding.
On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old ragged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Our Gospel Lesson, Matthew 23, verses 1 to 28. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them Rabbi. But you are not to be called Rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one Father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you lock people out of the kingdom of heaven. For you do not go in yourselves, and when others are going in, you stop them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cross sea and land to make a single convert, and you make the new convert twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the sanctuary is bound by nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the sanctuary is bound by the oath.' You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the sanctuary that has made the gold sacred? And you say, 'Whoever swears by the altar is bound by nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on the altar is bound by the oath.' How blind you are! For which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the sanctuary swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by the one who is seated upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup, so that the outside also may become clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but inside they are full of the bones of the dead and of all kinds of filth. So you also on the outside look righteous to others, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Turn.
Today's passage is a difficult one. Jesus seems to be doing a lot of judging and denouncing. He's not the Jesus some or many of us prefer to hear about, the one who forgives and heals and teaches about kindness. In our lesson from Matthew today, Jesus has harsh words for religious leaders who interpret religious laws in such a way that they are a burden to many. He's not impressed by religious leaders who wear prayer boxes and prayer shawls the way Hollywood stars wear jewelry on the red carpet at the Oscars. Nor does he appreciate how religious leaders love to have the best seats in the synagogues and love to be greeted the way some celebrities sit courtside and engage with the camera. Not surprisingly, Jesus tells the crowds and its disciples not to follow the actions of these religious leaders. They might know what to say, but these religious leaders certainly don't know how to act. If the people want a rabbi, a teacher, there's really only one option, and that is the Messiah, Jesus himself. And just in case the people aren't sure about giving their time and energy to the Messiah, just in case the people aren't willing to move beyond what is familiar and comfortable to look more carefully and open their eyes to see the truth, Jesus begins a rant against the hypocritical religious leaders. Sorrow awaits these fraudsters, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! In 14 of the verses we heard this morning, Jesus cries out 8 times, woe, a word of denunciation. And 7 times we hear, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Hypocrites. In the biblical Greek, this word is hypokrites. This word, hypokrites, was used for actors in classical Greece who put on a mask and kept up the role required by that mask. But over time, the word came to figuratively mean a two-faced person, a person whose profession does not match their practice, i.e., someone who says one thing but does another. We all know this word. Some of us have unintentionally been hypocrites ourselves. Children are most keen to point this out to their parents, and I must confess I've been one of those parents. But if we're honest, there are times when we know when we have said one thing and then knowingly done the complete opposite. In public, we can intentionally present one face, and then in the privacy of our homes, take that face off. Some of us wear masks to protect ourselves. Some of us wear masks because we're afraid about what people might really think of us. Some of us wear masks to hide our real thoughts and feelings. But whatever the reason, the masks that the religious leaders wear are masks that Jesus will tear off with his words of truth. These religious leaders really only love themselves. All their acts of prayer and fasting and giving money to the poor are about making the religious look good. There's nothing truthful about how these leaders serve God. Their acts point to themselves, not the giver of life. So when the people follow these religious leaders, they follow blindly those who care more about their own comfort and future. They follow blindly those who steer them away from the God of unconditional love, who is full of grace and mercy. Despite their fancy talk and their fancy wear, these religious leaders are blind. They value more the objects of gold and gifts placed on the altar more than the God to whom they are dedicated. These religious leaders value more the building and objects in the building than the God for whom they were made. What do you mean you want to remove some of these paintings in the church? How can you suggest that we change that in the church? Did you just suggest that we use our invested funds to try something different? Investments. Our investments at home and abroad have taken a huge hit during this pandemic, from students hoping to use their RESPs to those living off their investments in their retirement. Decimated investments are not the only crisis to hit the economy. Thousands have been laid off and thousands more will be laid off. It's hard to imagine anyone being left untouched by this state of emergency. This pandemic has ripped off the mask of security that we have placed on our investments, our jobs, our homes, and more. Without meaning to, many of us Christians have lived blinded by the securities, conveniences, and at times even the little luxuries of the world, because it has been easier, less challenging, less demanding. God wants every thought of ours, every emotion, every hope and fear, every secret and desire. God wants all of you and all of me so that God can give us new life. Do we hear for ourselves Jesus' words for the crowds and disciples who place their trust in religious leaders who wear masks? For the words are not just for a time gone by. They still speak to us today. Where in our lives might we be blind followers? Do we hear for ourselves Jesus' words against the religious leaders? Where in our lives might we have inadvertently led friends, family members, and others away from God while we pursued security, convenience, and even a little bit of luxury? These are not easy words to hear. These are not easy words for me to say. We are in a time of crisis. And yes, God is the source of comfort, encouragement, and hope during these times. But in times of crisis, we must also be honest. What brought us here? Have we been like the scribes and Pharisees, neglecting the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith? At all times, God longs to give us life abundant. But what is it that we really hold within our hearts? What is in the inside of our cups? The unpleasant truth is that we Christians have depended a lot on our own ability and wisdom. We have not lived a life that loves God with all, and I underscore the word all here. We have not loved God with all our heart, soul, and mind, as Matthew writes in chapter 22. For that is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We live in unprecedented times, but our God is powerful and works in mysterious ways. And although we are pressed on every side by troubles, we are not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we will not be driven to despair. We may be surrounded and battered and even spiritually terrorized, but we are not and will not be destroyed. Hear this mysterious truth. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. So that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. God calls us children. We are the body of Christ. In the new life Jesus gives to us as we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, let us pursue justice, mercy, and faith in these unprecedented times and walk secure, secure in the promise that God's plans for us are to give us a future and a hope. Amen. After each request during our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, there will be a brief pause for silent prayer. We will conclude our prayer with the Lord's Prayer using the word debts. Let us pray. Merciful God, we are living in unprecedented times. Our world is in chaos, full of great uncertainty and sickness, fear and greed. Yet amidst all this, your light shines in Jesus Christ, our Savior, to bring hope into every kind of darkness. Thank you for opening our eyes and restoring our sight so that we may see the fullness of your vision for the world and embrace it with courage. We take a moment now to sit quietly in gratitude for your light and your goodness. We remember before you this day people who are suffering from COVID-19 because the disease has attacked their bodies or because the pandemic has impacted their livelihood. People in the government, the healthcare system, those providing much needed supplies, and all who are helping to stop the spread of the disease during this state of emergency. People who are in need of friendship or support. People who are lonely, afraid, confused, and any who feel lost in life. People whose lives and relationships are troubled by addiction, mental health, oppression, and loss. And in this moment of silence, we lift up in prayer the people, places, and events that weigh most heavily upon our hearts and our minds. O God, receive our prayers, both spoken and unspoken, as we unite to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Spirit.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.